Well, you know, I like the first half of the State of the Union a lot because he focused on, I think, the two big issues that we need to deal with. One is jobs and the economy, and the second is our debt and deficit. And he spent a lot of time, he spent about half of the speech talking about those two topics. And he also had, in that part of the speech, a very bipartisan tone, which I thought was good. He talked about working together, and, you know, that's where I've been for a long time. So I thought that was really good. And then, you know, later in the speech, he got into some of more, I would say, I guess you can say his agenda items, things he'd like to do. And the tone of the speech changed a little bit. But overall, you know, I thought it was good. There are things we can agree on, certainly. You know, doing things like focus on infrastructure, manufacturing, you know, things like that. Education is something certainly we need to focus on. So there's areas of agreement there.
Well, you know, as he has in numerous speeches, he did try to highlight issues we should be able to agree on and things that we can get done, in, as he said in a speech. But, you know, in Washington, there may be agreement on what needs to happen, but major disagreement on how it needs to happen. What did you hear that you wanted to hear or that you didn't?
Well, I do think that you said it about as well as anybody could say it, is people know what we... You know, the goal we want to get to, but how you get there is right. There's very different pathways on that. I don't know. Listen, I like the fact that he talked about Simpson Bowles. You know, I've been talking about Simpson Bowles for years now. I think that is the blueprint we need to follow to try to get ourselves where we need to be fiscally in the country. I don't agree with every line of Simpson Bowles, but I think it's the blueprint we should start with and try to you know, get there. And the fact he mentioned that was good. You know, he talked about some, you know, issues that are going to be hard. They're going to be controversial, like, you know, gun control and immigration. And he made a pretty impassioned closing argument, I guess you can say, for at least getting a vote on gun legislation, which I actually, that's fine. You know, let's see. My view of that is, the Senate Judiciary Committee is working on that right now. I don't know exactly what's going to be there. I've already come out against the assault weapons ban, and I think they're going to try to work on something with background checks, and I'm not quite sure what else. And, you know, my view is let's let the process work. Let's see what the Judiciary Committee comes out with. Let's see if it's something that, you know, you can get a bipartisan consensus on, and, you know, let's vote. You know, so that doesn't bother me at all to say let's vote on it. But without knowing exactly what they're going to do, you know, I can't say whether I'd support it or not. Just like immigration, we have 8 senators working on it. I'm glad there's a bipartisan group working on it. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way you get things done in Washington. But until you actually see what the group comes out with, it's hard for me to say yay or nay on whether I could support that.
Well, of course, in the president talking about a federal response to gun violence, he admitted, and just about everybody agrees, that there is no legislation that's going to solve the whole problem. Everyone agrees there is a problem, but are there real solutions? You said you're against the assault weapons ban. What are some solutions that could work or
well,
help?
Well, you know, I think, you know, one thing I've said from the beginning of this is we should enforce the laws that we have on the books. And we do have some gun laws, and some of those are not as strictly enforced as they should be. That's one thing. Another thing we can do, and I think Arkansas falls in this category, we can make sure that the right kind of data goes into the database so that when there is a background check, you have things like mental health histories and whatnot in the database. So, you know, and even, you know, people who are convicted of a felony, you know, illegal immigrants, you know, things like that. You know, they show up in the database so they can't buy weapons. And that's the law. That's the law right now. So to try to, you know, enforce what we have on the books would be good. And, you know, we can talk about other things on that, but I think, you know, those are the types of things I'll be looking for.
Well, there are obviously some issues that need to be addressed. I was just reading this morning an article about an actress who's being stalked by a mentally unstable man who apparently legally owns a firearm. These are the kind of things that shouldn't be happening. This man should not have access to a firearm.
Well, you know, the whole mental health thing is something that, again, we need to think through and try to work on. I think the rules right now would pretty much say folks who have mental illness and who have a dangerous sort of tendency or that's an element of what their illness is, I think almost everybody would agree they should not be in possession of firearms because they might bring harm to themselves or others. So we'd like to keep those out of their hands. But at the same time, that should include more funding for mental health issues in the country. And I'll be honest with you, we have a lot of people that after the shooting up in Connecticut, they're saying, yeah, we need to fund mental health. But if you look at their voting record, they've tried to defund mental health. You know, I've been supporter of, you know, funding things like mental health parity and making sure that we have mental health services, not just in Arkansas, but around the country. It's a real problem, especially in rural Arkansas, rural America, because, you know, just it's part of health care, and the way the dollars work in health care is that tends to be concentrated in the more urban and the more populated areas. So you get outside of the, say, the 10 biggest cities in Arkansas, you just don't have a lot of mental health infrastructure out there. So, you know, I've tried to do that. I've tried to be consistent on that. The other thing that I've been a big supporter of, and this goes to schools, is the COPS program. And this is a Bill Clinton initiative. He wanted to put 100,000 police officers on the street. Turns out in Arkansas, about 40% of those in the COPS program were actually in the schools. They were school resource officers. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I talked about this a long time ago, but when I became attorney general, I must confess, I was not real big on that idea of having police officers in the schools. But then once I started going to schools, and I started to talk to kids, and they liked the police officers there. The parents liked them there. The teachers liked them there. The administrators liked them there. And the police departments liked them there. I mean, you know, it was just kind of a win-win all the way around. So, I've supported that program since I've been here. But here again, some people who are now saying we need police officers in school, they voted to cut the program. So, you know, some of this is we need to be honest with people, and we need to say, look, you know, if this is worth doing, we need to pay for it, and we need to make the national commitment to try to make this better.
Yeah, the school resource officer program really, really seemed to work so very well, and it's just a mystery to me as to why that has not become more widespread.
Well, I would say this. I remember one year President Bush said, you know, well, we're going to keep the COPS program. Well, that's good. So that was his announcement. We looked in the budget, and I think he had cut it by 99%. Mm-hmm. I think he'd kept 1% of the funding, so he could say he kept the program. You know, to me, I don't know if that was because that was a Clinton initiative and that became a red versus blue kind of Bush versus Clinton thing. I don't know the whole history of that. I'm not asking on motivations. I'm not trying to interpret that. But the truth is, it's a program that worked, and it's a program that is very voluntary. See, this is one of the great things about the COPS program. The federal government doesn't make Jonesboro do this. Mm-hmm. They don't make, but if Jonesboro wants to do that, they can. And there's a commitment that, you know, I think the way it worked generally was the federal government paid for like the first 2 years, everything, lock, stock, and barrel, and then for the next 2 or 3 years, the city or the county or the school district or whoever had to pay for it. Well, that's very voluntary. If they want that, then, you know, they should be able to have that. But it does help them get started and help put those police officers out in the communities like they should be.
Well, you mentioned immigration reform, which is, of course, back in the headlines now and was a major part of the State of the Union address. Of course, an issue with a lot of complexity and a lot of passion on both sides. What's your vision for how immigration reform should work?
Well, I am very, very happy and very supportive of these 8 senators who are coming together to try to work through the issues. I think this is the way it ought to be done. You have 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans. They're from all over the country. They're from all kind of different ideological and different kind of backgrounds, and they're trying to work through this. I talked to Marco Rubio, who's been kind of the point man on the Republican side. I ate lunch with him the other day, and Marco told me that, you know, they have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of areas where they just don't agree yet, and they're working through it. And I said, Marco, that's great. That's how you get it done. You know, that's the legislative process. That's the way it ought to work. So I'm hoping that they come up with something that's a consensus bill that I can support. I'd love to be able to support it. But until they draft something, I just really almost can't even comment on it because I really have no idea. I've seen a kind of a general framework, but there's just no details yet on what they're actually going to be able to put on paper and, you know, file a bill.
Well, of course, this Congress does have a lot of work ahead of it. The sequester, the package of automatic budget cuts that were supposed to force the parties to work together, it's up against another deadline coming up. And, you know, this threat didn't work as planned before. Will it work this time?
Well, I'm afraid that we are going to see some sequestration. I'm afraid that you're going to see some spending cuts. I don't think it's going to take very long for the politicians to kind of understand what they've done. I think it's just going to take a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden when, you know, people like meat inspectors and air traffic controllers and, you know, all kinds of people aren't going to be able to do their job 100% of the time, I think that that's going to cause a lot of heartburn, and it's going to be bad for the U.S. economy. We don't need this in the U.S. economy right now. We need our government to function. Obviously, we all know we're spending too much money. We know our deficits are way too big. And again, going back to Simpson-Bowles, you know, we need to go to the three things they talked about. We need to cut our discretionary spending, which we've been doing, by the way, and this is something the Congress hasn't gotten a lot of credit for, but we've already cut some discretionary spending. We need to do entitlement reform, and President Obama talked about that the other night in his speech, and we need to do tax reform, and Obama talked about that in his speech as well. So, you know, I would hope that we could, you know, pull all this together and get this done, but as all your listeners know, it's a lot easier said than done, and there's a lot of details that we'll have to work through.
Well, just quickly, I want to look at some of your committee assignments. You're on the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, which is an important assignment considering Arkansas's military bases and related industries.
Arkansas is very patriotic, and the fact that, you know, I used to be on the Armed Services Committee, which was great, but once I got onto Appropriations, I had to give up armed services. So, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I got on Military Construction Subcommittee, which is good. That funds things like the housing and the infrastructure at Little Rock Air Force Base and, you know, Fort Chaffee and all that. That's good. But the Defense Appropriations is really the rest of the puzzle there. It's where more money is, and it has to do with the overall Department of Defense and basically the bigger picture defense needs of the country. So, I love that. I'm really excited to be on there. And I'm just on that committee. I'm not chair of it. I'm just on that subcommittee. Mm-hmm. But I look forward to that. And I am chair of the Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee, which, right, you know, I hope is really good for Arkansas. It's something I really want to try to help the state with ag approach.
And speaking of that, what's the any progress on the farm bill?
Well, not yet. I know that Debbie Stabenow, the chairwoman of the Agriculture Committee in the Senate, has been working. She worked all last year to get it done, and she got it passed in the Senate, even tried to the very last day, right at the first of the year, tried to get it done there and was not able to. But, you know, we sent it over to the House, and the House wouldn't take it up. And hopefully the Ag Committee is going to make some changes to the Senate bill, and hopefully those changes will benefit Arkansas, and try to get it out of the Ag Committee and try to get it through the Senate floor and over to the House relatively quickly. So hopefully the House can take it up, you know, I'd say mid-year, maybe this year, something like that. But it's a little uncertain right now. I think the House is being mum on what they're going to do, and I think Debbie Stabenow has been working very hard to try to get some sort of agreement with the House on how they're going to do it. So we're kind of waiting on the House once again.
It's still a long time to have our farmers wait on some dependable legislation.
No, it is, and this is something that it's frustrating for me because I think most people in Washington just do not appreciate agriculture. But one of the things that we need to recognize is that agriculture is one of the core strengths in the U.S. economy. We do it better than anybody in the world, and we need to focus on our strengths. And this is something that we should be focused on. And not only is it good for Arkansas, but as a general rule, it's good for rural America. And it's good for the nation. It's good for our national security. It's good for, you know, any way you slice it or dice it. Yeah. This is very good for the country.
Well, I know yesterday you participated in a hearing on the U.S. Postal Service plans to end Saturday delivery. This is, of course, a big issue in rural communities. And you had an opportunity to question the Postmaster General about the legality of what they're planning.
I did. I kind of asked the awkward question that he didn't want to answer, and it was obvious he didn't want to answer it, but I just asked him the simple question. You know, he made this announcement to go from six-day delivery to five-day delivery, and I asked him, I said, what is your legal authority for doing that? Well, he couldn't answer, because I think the answer is he doesn't have the authority to do that. He made the announcement, but I think that there's law on the books that says you have to do six-day delivery. Now, we can change the law, but I don't think he has the legal authority to do this. I think he's trying to finesse this and make it happen without any legal authority, which is very troubling. So he promised me that he would get, he said there's a 9-page legal brief on this and that he can justify his position. And so I said, great, you know, send it over. Now, to me, if it takes 9 pages, that's a problem, because there ought to be a statute that says you have discretion to do what you want, and I don't think there is such a statute. So we'll see what he says, and we'll keep working with the Postal Service. And obviously, we need to do post reform. Here again, the Senate passed post reform last year. We got it over the House, and it died in the House. But I was a big part of that, and part of this was to make sure that rural Arkansas does not get left behind in this postal reform.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks and get some updates on these situations.
Good. Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you. Senator Mark Pryor joining us from his office in Washington this morning. You're listening to Morning Edition.